Rav Michelle, thank you for this very significant schus. And as mentioned, Potchim B'Chvod HaChsanya, so it's not just the Emek Learning Center, but ultimately Camp Hask and all those who are involved in this true Torah Chesed. And in the spirit then of Torah Chesed, and as we know, the time period of Chanukah that Rav Michelle was speaking about, of spreading Or, spreading the light, and it's the obviously the national light of Am Yisrael, but it's also noticing the individual light of every single member within Am Yisrael. And what we're going to focus on over the next hour or so is what, to a certain degree, not just the secret of Chanukah is, but why it is that when we think of Chanukah, right, there really is only one halacha, one mitzvah that's connected to the Chag. And which mitzvah is that? Right, the mitzvah, right, halacha neirot. Right, and what we're going to see, though, is that this interesting mitzvah of halacha neirot, and it really has various sources. And what we're going to try to examine together is really the significance not only of the neirot themselves, but other aspects of Chanukah. So I was playing off of Lynn Truss's very famous work of Eats, Shoots, and Leaves. Anyone familiar with that? Yeah. Where she's a journalist who is very upset about the state of punctuation or lack thereof in the world. And this is how you can talk about pandas, again, or a panda eats, shoots, and leaves, right? Or someone walks into a bar and eats, shoots, and leaves. Right? So depending on where you place the punctuation. Notice that when it comes to Hanukkah, we can talk about, again, eight dates and olives, right? 1 8 dates and olives, or what we're going to focus on, and that is the significance of 8 days in particular. Dates, by this I mean not tamarim, not the actual dates of the Sheva Minim, but the date of Hanukkah, which in itself we're going to see is rather strange. And obviously the significance of olives as well. So we're going to get started by asking the obvious question, why do we celebrate Hanukkah? Why is it on Chaf Hei Kislev? Why do we celebrate for 8 days? And ultimately, why do we celebrate through the lighting of the menorah? And just to clarify, when we talk about the lighting of the menorah, we're referring to why the Hashmonaim decided to light the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash. And what I always tell people coming from Chutz Laretz, we have to remember that in Eretz Yisrael today, we don't light menorahs. What do we light? Chanukiyos, right? We have to get used to this, right? It's not the menorah. The menorah is in the Beit HaMikdash. But let's take a look at the very famous source that everyone quotes with regard to Hanukkah from Masechet Shabbat, dealing firstly with the Neirot of Shabbos. And just to show us the parallel between Neirot Shabbat and Neirot Hanukkah, again, the sugyot are in fact juxtaposed. My Hanukkah, what is this holiday of Hanukkah? Ditanu Rabbanan, b'chofei b'kislev, yomei t'chanukah, t'naya inun, d'lo l'misped b'hon, u'd'lo l'tanut b'hon. There are 8 days, starting Chafei Kislev, where one is not allowed to fast, one is not allowed to eulogize. Why? Shekshe nechnesu yivanim lehechal. Because when the Seleucid Greeks took over the Mikdash, tim'u kol hashmanim shebehechal. Right? We're familiar with the story from probably Gan Yeladim, from kindergarten. And the Yevanim defiled all of the oils. Uchegavram achut beit chashmonaim. When the Hasmoneans came to the Mikdash, v'nitzachum, and they finally defeated them. What we know in the fifth battle against the Greeks, batku v'lomatzu elapach achad shel shemen. They only found one vial, one flask of shemen shayam unach b'chotamo shel kohen gadol that still had the original seal of tahara of the kohen gadol. But there was only enough within the flask to light for 1 day. Miraculously, the oil lasted for 8 days. For the next year already, that's when Chazal decided, or based on Beit Hashmonai, we're going to celebrate this year after year with praise to Hashem, with thanksgiving, and ultimately, as we know, by lighting the candles. One obvious question, though, arise from the sugya. Number one, the very famous question that almost all the Parshanim ask. If there was really enough oil for one night, then why do we celebrate for 8 nights? Really, the miracle should have only been for 7 nights. And now for every question, there really are numerous answers. Again, this is no exception. We find all different possibilities of why, despite the fact that the first night maybe it wasn't really such a miracle, then we find different explanations that tell us that no, there was a miraculous nature to this oil for all 8 nights of Hanukkah. What it doesn't come to explain, though, is number one, why Chaf Hei? Right? Notice that the Gemara doesn't say, oh, they stomped into the Mikdash on Chaf Hei, because Chazal know that this isn't when the Hashmonaim entered the Mikdash. As a matter of fact, from the historical work of the Maccabim that we have, namely what we call Sifrei HaMakabim, or Sefer HaChashmonaim, especially Maccabim Aleph, which was written by a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael, close to the time period of Hanukkah, and he records all the different military venues of the Hashmonaim, and ultimately the battle of, through which the Hashmonaim finally overtook the area of Har HaBayit was the fifth battle, again, that started in the areas of Shiloh, Ma'aleh Levona, Gush Etzion, and then finally, actually at the end of Elul already, they won this fifth battle, they won control over Har HaBayit. So the question is, obviously, why then do we celebrate this Chafei Kislev? And we already discussed that we still have a portion of 8 nights. According to this, though, what's very clear? Why we light the Hanukkah candles. According to Gemara Masechet Shabbat, why is the primary halacha, the means of celebration, commemorated through lighting the menorah? Because that's what the Hashmonaim did. That was the Nes Pach Shemen. But what's interesting is that if we look just a little earlier in time, if we go back to the Tanaitic work known as Megillat Ta'anit, not to be confused with Masechet Ta'anit in Shas, that was compiled by Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, where in there, Masechet Ta'anit, we hear about all the different types of fasts that we fast, that Chazal and individuals took upon themselves when there is insufficient rain. Megillat Ta'anit is written about 150 years after the story of Hanukkah, and it not only talks about the various battles and the victories of the Maccabim, it also recounts for us a list of 35 days, again, celebratory days, wherein one is not allowed to fast. That's why it's called Megillat Ta'anit. Literally a scroll of all the days where you're not supposed to fast. 14 of these 35, you're also not allowed to deliver any type of eulogies. You're not allowed to mourn on these days either. So let's take a look at the Megillah. One of these days, lo and behold, is Esrim HaChamisha B'Kislev. And just to tell you, most of these 35 dates are actually dates that recount some type of victory against the, again, at some point later on, the Romans, but ultimately against the Yevanim, against the Greek armies. In addition to this date, we find later on, and sometime probably in the time of the Gaonim, based on early Midrashim, we find what's called a scholion, right? The Greek word for parshanot, the exegesis, the explanation for the significance of these 35 days. So what's the explanation for why we don't fast on Esrim HaChamisha B'Kislev? Let's take a look. Firstly, Esrim HaChamisha Beit Chanachta Tinaya Yomum. We hear a very similar phraseology that we saw in the Gemara. Starting Chafei Kislev, we have 8 days of Hanukkah, Delodul Misbe Bahon, where you're not allowed to deliver eulogies. Shenechtusu Yevanim Lehechal, Timu Kol HaShmanim Shebeichal, Ukshagavraya Beit HaShmonei, ונצחום בדקו ולא מצאו אלא פח אחד שהיה מונח בחתומו של כלי גדול שלא נצמא ולא היה בו להדליק אלא יום אחד ונעשה בו נס והדליקו ממנו 8 ימים. Why did I read that so quickly? Because we just read it. It's the same exact phrase from the Gemara, right? That ultimately they came into the Mikdash and there was only one flask of oil that still had the seal of the Kohen Gadol. And what did they do? L'shana אחרת כבאום 8 ימים טובים. But notice that even though now they also have the same source that the Gemara has. The Megillah, or the Parshanut of the Megillah, also has Midrashim, has different explanations. And what are some of the sources that they see? Number one, they're bothered. Wait a second. Lighting a Chanukiah doesn't really explain what was so significant about the miracle itself, because if so, then we should really have only lived for 7 days. And it doesn't explain why Chafei Kislev. And it doesn't explain really, why the 8 days? Ma ra'ula sot Chanukah 8 yamim. And therefore, the author of this cholion asks, why is it that they decided the next year that they're going to celebrate for 8 days? Ba lo Chanukah sha'asa Moshe b'midbar, lo asa ela shevat yamim. What does Megillat Ta'anit, the Parshanut of Megillat Ta'anit, already tell us? That you should know that the main reason for Chanukah is not necessarily because they found the flask of oil. That's not really the reason. And you know what? It's not really because there was a miracle with the oil. Rather, it's called Chanukah, from what etymology? Lechanech, to found. This is the time that they reinaugurated the second Beit HaMikdash after the Yevanim had defiled the temple. But the Parshan asks, well, wait a second, we know from the Chanukah of the Mishkan and the Chanukah of the first Beit HaMikdash and the Chanukah of the second Beit HaMikdash during the time, more or less, of Haggai, Zechariah, Ezra, that the Chanukot are supposed to be 7 days, right? What we generally call Shabbat Yimei HaMiluim. So it was a 7-day holiday, just like it says in the Torah, Amid Petachol Mo'ed Lo Tetsu Shabbat Yamin V'Gomer. And also, V'hi HaMakriv V'Yom HaRishon Et Karbano V'Gomer V'Shvi'i HaKriv Ephraim. We hear that the Nisiim also were involved in these inaugurations and at the ceremonies. V'chei Matzino V'Chanukah Shasah Shlomo. When Shlomo inaugurated the first Beit HaMikdash, it was also 7 days. 7 days that in the end he merged afterwards with the 7 days of Sukkot. Ki Chanukat HaMizbech Asu Shabbat Yamin. V'hachak Shabbat Yamin. First he had a 7-day inaugural ceremony, and then a separate 7-day festivities for Chag HaSukkot. So Ma Ra'u Lasot Chanukah Zeh Shmona Yamin. So here we find the obvious question. Why is this Chanukah 8 days? Ella bimei malchut yavam. Nechnesu b'nei chashmonei lehechal. Uvanu et hamizbeach v'saduha basid. According to the Parshan, it says, day number one, what did they do? First, they had to rebuild the altar. They had to rebuild the mizbeach that was defiled by the Greeks. So first, they rededicated the altar. And then what did they do? V'chol shivat hayamim hayu mitaknim v'chlei sharit. Day number one was the day for actually building or rebuilding the mizbeach. Once they rebuilt the mizbeach, then for how long did they celebrate the Chanukah? For the additional 7 days. So it's really 1 + 7. Chanukat Beit Chashmonei Lidorot, V'lama Hi Nohegat Lidorot. And why is it that this is the Chanukah that we still celebrate today? Because Ela Shasu B'Teitah Mitzara Livracha V'amru B'Halal B'Hoda'a V'Edliku B'Neirot B'Tahara. Because everything that surrounded these festivities were supposed to be an everlasting holiday to remind ourselves how we came into the Beit HaMikdash and how everything was lit in purity. Because first the Yevanim came and defiled the temple. They transformed it into a pagan temple. Now we find a very interesting terminology. It says you should know that even before the celebratory 7 days of inaugurating the temple during the time of the Chashmonaim, first we hear that when they won the war, what did they do? They came back to the Mikdash, and don't think that they went up and they lit a beautiful menorah of Zahav. What did the Greeks probably do with a beautiful golden menorah? They probably then defiled it, destroyed it, melted it down. And yet, what did the Chashmonaim do? According to what the Parshan here, they took 8 different types of iron, right? Not in the way that we generally picture a glorious menorah of the Beit HaMikdash. And they put it together with mud, and that's how they lit the menorah. And why were they so thankful to Hashem then? L'lamitcha. Shekol tshua v'tshua sh'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael hi makdimim l'fana b'halel u'b'shavach. They wanted to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were grateful to Hashem for all of the victories. V'kach lo omer b'sefer Ezra, v'yanu kol ha'am b'halel, v'odot l'Hashem ki tov, g'ile olam chasdo ay Yisrael, v'chol ha'am harmiyu tshua gdola b'halel l'Hashem. Al usad beit Hashem. How did they celebrate this inauguration? Not only did they rebuild the Mizbeach, but the reason why, according to this, the reason why we light the menorah in particular is because that's what the Chashmonaim did. They wanted to show their expression of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they lit the menorah. According to the explanation of Megillat Ta'anit, why do we celebrate Chanukah, starting from Chafei? Well, we celebrate it because that was the day wherein the Mizbeach was rebuilt, and then there were additional 7 days of celebration to thank Hashem for everything that he had done, for everything that he had bestowed upon Am Yisrael. And yet, we're going to see right now that, interestingly, even though that's one of the earliest explanations that's offered, we're going to see that that's not what we talk about, especially in our tefillot. Well, let's take a look firstly at the Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask an obvious question, not necessarily, or not dafka, with regards to Chanukah. Right? And that is, wait a second, they came in and they lit the menorah. Right? Why are they lighting the menorah as a celebration for Hashem? Why were they lighting the menorah as a manifestation of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? As a matter of fact, anyone remember, when did we light the menorah and the mikdash every day? According to Rambam, in the morning and in the evening, but according to Rashi, only in the evening. Right before they would lock the Beit HaMikdash, that's when the menorah was lit. So sure enough, then Rav Sheshet asks, he says, isn't it strange that in the Mishkan and in the mikdash, that's when the Mishkan was closed, that's when we would light the menorah. But why would we do that? And firstly, we're going to see the idea of the menorah being a part of the symbol that goes all the way back to the time of the Mishkan. So now back to the Gemara Masechet Shabbat. We're going to see that that's not what we talk about. What do we speak about on Hanukkah? For example, the fact that you're all here to learn about Hanukkah and Erev Hanukkah, because you know that you also have to light the neiros of Hanukkah, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Why is that? Chazal teach us, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Nashim Chayavot, women are obligated, b'ner Hanukkah, sha'af hein hayu bolto hanes, because they were also part of the miracle. So the Baalei HaTosfot explain, because women were part of the gzeirot, they were also oppressed, and therefore they were also enjoying the miracle that took place. But Rashi offers a different explanation, and he says, hayu bolto hanes, shegazru yibanim al kol betulot hanesuot liyibael letefsar tchila, that women weren't just part of the gzeirot, women were directly affected by the decrees. As a matter of fact, women were abused by the Ivanim. The Al Yadei Isha Naseh Hanes. Afein Hayu Boto Hanes, the women were actively involved in bringing about the miracle. Particularly, which woman is Rashi alluding to? Yehudit, excellent, who killed Heliphornus, you remember, the Greek general. And therefore, women have a role in the Nes. What's interesting about this source? Wait a second, women have a role in the Nes, in the miracle. What miracle is being referred to here? Is it the miracle of Nes Pach Sheven that was recounted in the Gemara? Is it the miracle of Gena coming back to the Mishkan and reinaugurating the Mishkan? Is that what the women were involved in? According to this source, what is the Nes of Hanukkah? The Nes was the victory. Right, in which case, now we're very bothered. If the Nes was really the victory, then why do we celebrate for 8 days? And why do we celebrate Chafei Kislev? Then months after the victory took place? And why do we celebrate the victory specifically through lighting candles? Right, just to highlight this all the more. And in our Sidur Tfilah, when we talk about Al Hanisim, what is the focus of the Nes? What do we talk about? What do we thank Hashem for? It doesn't say, oh Hashem, thank you so much because we took that little flask of oil and it lasted 8 days. No. We talk about Hanisim Darkorkam, Vial HaGvurot, Vial HaChuot, Vial HaMilchamot. And even when we recount, Bimei Matityahu, Ben Yochanan, Mordechai, Hashmonei Yovanav, when we speak about the Nes itself, we talk about Rabbim Yad Matim, the Tmeyim Biyat Tahorim, Rishayim Biyat Tzadikim. And it's true, we say that at the end, V'achar Ha'kbalu Banachal, Lizver Beit Lachal, Ofinu Atecha Lachal, V'tiyah Ruach V'tashacha, V'hidliku Nerot, V'chatzot Chachacha, V'kabu Shmona Tzimei Chanukah, Eilu Lodot, Lahalel Shemcha Ha'gadol. And now we speak about, oh yeah, they came in and they lit the menorah. It doesn't even say, that yes, there was a Nes Pach Shemen. I always have to thank Miami Boys Choir for this. Right? That, we can sing along with the Al-Hanisim. And look at what we say, Hanenot Halalu Chodeshev. Even when we look at the Nerot as we light them, do we mention, oh Hashem, now we remember the Nes Pach Shemen. Is that what we speak about? No. What do we say? Oh Hashem, these are the Nerot that we're lighting, not to remember the miracle of the oil. These are the Nerot, Al-Hanisim on the float. Again, the Al-Hanisim on the float. Kedei laudoto la'alo l'shemcha ha'gadol al yisacha v'yal neflotecha v'yal yeshuatecha, literally the military salvations. So in case we didn't have questions until now we definitely do. Because on one hand, what we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for throughout the 8 days of Hanukkah is the military victory. And yet, that only exacerbates the questions. So why do we celebrate through lighting a Chanukiah? So far we've seen, just notice, three different explanations for what the miracle was. Either Nes Pach Shemen, or the actual inauguration of the Mikdash, or the military victory. And just to, I would say, aggravate all the more, you ready? The last opinion, namely that of the Rambam. According to the Rambam, what really is the Nes of Hanukkah? בבית שני, כשמלכו יוון, גזרו גזירות על ישראל וביטלו דתם, ולא הניחו אותם לעסוק בתורה ומצוות, ופשטו ידם בממונם ובבנותיהם, ונכנסו להיכל ופרצו בו פרצות, וצימו הטהרות. Says the Seleucid Greeks came in and they basically defiled not just the Mikdash, they undermined Jewish law, they undermined Jewish culture and our Jewish lifestyle. But Sarlam and Israel ma'od mipnehem. V'lachatzum lachatz gadol ad shevichem aleihem elokei avotenu v'oshiyem miyadam v'atzilem v'gavru b'nei chashmoni ha'kohanim ha'gdolim v'haragum v'oshiyo Yisrael miyadam. And then the Hasmonean dynasty got up and they were the ones, or b'nei chashmoni got up and they fought against the Greeks and they saved Am Yisrael. V'hemidu melech min ha'kohanim v'chazra malchut li'Yisrael yeter al matayim shana ad ha'chorban ha'sheni. According to the Rambam, what is the climax of the miracle of Hanukkah? What in fact are we celebrating? Not just the military victory, that was the means to a greater end. What was the end? What were we able to do? Reestablish autonomy. We were able to reestablish Malchut for Israel for the first time since the rebuilding of the Second Beit HaMikdash. So just to put this in proper historical perspective, we know that the Second Beit HaMikdash is built in 516 BCE. The miracle of Hanukkah takes place in 165 BCE. That means that over 350 years after there's a Beit HaMikdash, we finally have the restoration of Malchut through the Hashmonaim. Now, the Rambam himself alludes to the fact that how is this Beit Hashmonaim? How is the Hasmonean dynasty? He says, well, it lasted yeter al matayim shana ad ha'chorban ha'sheni. The Hashmonaim basically restored autonomy for the last 200 years of the Second Beit HaMikdash until it was destroyed. Do you know anything about this Hasmonean dynasty of kings? Are they good?
No.
They end up being very, very corrupt. But the Rambam says, still, we celebrate Hanukkah because Israeli autonomy and having self-government in Eretz Yisrael is better than no government in Eretz Yisrael. We have to remember that as we approach the elections. But, basically, yes, this is, according to the Rambam, what we're celebrating, the restoration of autonomy, and headed by at least, again, members of a Jewish family. So notice that, according to the Rambam, perhaps the celebration is all the stranger. According to the Rambam, if we're really celebrating Malchut, then why are we lighting a menorah? And if we're really celebrating Malchut, then why chafei? And if we're celebrating Malchut, then isn't it enough just to celebrate for one day, the day of the crowning of the Hashmonaim, of Shimon HaChashmoni, and then Yochanan and Yonatan? And why particularly for 8 days? So let's take a look at the Gemara Masechet Shabbat that alludes to what I've mentioned, namely that this lighting of the menorah was questionable and even during the time of the Mikdash. Why do we ever light the menorah? Forget about Hanukkah for a second. Why is the menorah lit? Dafka when the Mishkan is going to be closed. So Rav Sheshet asks, not only that, but Michutz l'Charochet Ha'idut Ya'aroch, he's referring to the Ner Tamid that always has to be burning in the Beit HaMikdash, even when it's locked, even when no one goes in. V'chi la'ora, I'm sorry. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the light inside? Does Hashem isn't able to see in the dark? Hashem needs it for Shalom Bayit? That can't be, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of light. Hashem provided for the Amud Esh and the Amud Aman for 40 years in the Midbar. Ela eduti leba'ei olam shashchina shora b'Yisrael. According to Rav Sheshet, what is the reason why we light the menorah in the Mishkan? Why do we light the menorah in the Mikdash? And why do we light it dafka at the end of the day? What is the symbol of the lighting of the menorah? The lighting of the menorah is a symbol of the manifestation of the Shekhinah. And if you go back, way back, to the stories, for example, of Lippin Haftarim, and you go back to the story of Hitgalut Hashem, the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu in the form of the Smeh Bo'er Ba'ish, and then you continue to Ma'amad Har Sinai, and you see, as the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amud Anan and Amud Esh, Hashem leading us in the Midbar, through the form of fire, we see that fire is consistently the expression of a physical expression of the manifestation of the Shekhinah. And therefore, why do we light the menorah? Not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we light the menorah? For us, as a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there in the Mishkan, even when we lock it up. As a sign that Hashem Shekhinah always accompanies us. And with this, then, we understand a little more based on all the aforementioned explanations. Why then, whether it was because Nes Pachshemen, or was because of the miraculous reinauguration of the temple, or because it was of a miraculous military defeat against the Greeks, or it was because of the restoration of autonomy, why did he light the menorah? So the Maharal explains beautifully in his very famous Sefer Ner Mitzvah and Chanukah. He says, "Sheikar ma shakavu yimei Chanukah b'shvil shayu menatzchim et ha'yavanim." He says, "I know that you know all the explanations. You've learned Masechet Shabbat. You've heard about from the time that you were in kindergarten the Nes Pachshemen. But you should know what really is at the core of the miracle of Hanukkah. What are we celebrating more than anything else? We're celebrating the military victory. And that's why, that's what we speak about in our tefillah, in Al Hanisim, in Hanero Talalu. And that's why even the Rambam can't deny that it was the military victory that henceforth allowed for the restoration of autonomy. But ultimately, it's a military victory, he says. Rak shelo haya nir'eh shaya kanitzachon hazeh. But what's the danger after a military victory? That you can win a war, and what can people say? They can say, Iron Dome. Right? They can say modern technology. They can say military prowess. They can sing Mi Yemalel Gvurot Yisrael. And instead of Mi Yemalel Gvurot Hashem. So what did they do? They wanted to show that the military victory that could perhaps be misunderstood as some type of mortal victory, they wanted to show they wanted to show the world that they understood that the military victory of being able to defeat the numbers, more than 60 to 1 we know the numbers were, that they were able to defeat, not because of kochi va'otzem yadi, not because of their own military prowess, but rather because of Hashem. And that's why, the reason why Chazal enumerate particularly the miracle of the Nes Pachshemen is to show you that that's the sign. When they came back to the Mikdash and they lit the candles of the menorah, what was that? That was their way of explaining, we understand how we won, why we won. Who was really behind that victory? That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the Nes Pachshemen was really a further corroboration that everything, including the very physical, natural, military victory, was also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'edu shehakol haya b'nes min Hashem Yifarach. Dafka, a miracle in the menorah. Not a miracle of the lechem hapanim, not a miracle of the mizbeach, a miracle of the menorah. The menorah that symbolizes the Shechina of Hashem in our midst, that's the means through which they're going to publicize the military victory as miraculous as well. V'kach ha-melchama hayu menatzchim Yisrael haya min Hashem Yifarach. That was their way of corroborating that the miracle was really, again, the military defeat was really miraculous, was really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. So even though now perhaps we understand why, even if the military victory was really at the core, we celebrate and we commemorate through a recognition that Hashem was behind it all by lighting Nerot Chanukah. But still, what questions remain unanswered? Why eight? Isn't it enough, just like the Hashmonaim? So we'll just light it for one. Right, and even the Hashmonaim, when it says that, oh, they were able to light for 8 days, they didn't just light for 8 days, they kept lighting more and more and more. Why this magic number 8? And we still didn't answer why?
25th.
Thank you. Why the 25th? So with this, we're going to go back to a little bit of the education that the Hashmonaim received. For this, we have to understand Chanukah in its historical context. And we're going to see a beautiful message that's extrapolated once we appreciate the context of the stories of Chanukah. Keeping in mind, as I mentioned, that these Hashmonaim are living during the time period of the second Beit HaMikdash. The second temple is already built, starting 516 BCE. But just to put that in greater perspective, we know that Am Yisrael were given the right, as we see in Tanakh, both in Sefer Ezra and in Devei HaYamim, that Koresh was inspired by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow for all those who were exiled by the Babylonians to return to their respective lands, and to rebuild their temples. And unfortunately, we hear that the Jews who were in Babel at the time, literally only a drop in the bucket returns. Namely, about 42,000 Jews returned to Eretz Yisrael. And just like Koresh had given them permission, what do they try to do? They attempt to rebuild the second Beit HaMikdash. Are they successful? Not at all. They come back in 535 BC, and there are Shomronim who are bothering them. The Shomronim, the Samaritans, who think that they're the proper descendants of Am Yisrael. And they say, look, we never went into exile. You shouldn't really rebuild the temple in Yerushalayim, because that one was destroyed. You should rebuild it in Shechem, say the Shomronim. In addition to the fact that the people who did come back, the ones who did make Aliyah back to Eretz Yisrael, were the ones who really had nothing to lose. They didn't leave much behind in Babel. So we're talking about a very poor, indigent people, again, economically. In addition, Dana, we also know that they come back to a land without any religious infrastructure. There's no mikdash, Dana, not really many mikvaot, not a school system. And what are the people convinced of? They're wondering, wait a second, we're back in Eretz Yisrael, and there are a lot of political problems and economic problems. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us here. But then comes along the Navi Haggai. It's the second year of Daryavish, who is going to rule the Persian kingdom after Koresh's successor, Cambuzi. And in the second year of Daryavish, who has officially allowed for the Yehudim to rebuild the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, Haggai comes on the scene. But he doesn't come on the scene, Stan. Haggai makes a very poignant appearance. He comes at very particular times. He chooses the dates of his nevuot very specifically, which tells us that for each of his nevuot, by the way, there are only two chapters of the nevuot of Haggai, and yet we're going to see that these prophecies are replete with various dates, telling us that Haggai chooses the dates of his nevuah particularly. Right? He wants you to know that there's significance in the date. So let's take a look. When is his first nevuah? Haggai perek aleph pasuk aleph b'shnat shtayim levayevesh hamalech. Bachodesh Hashishi, Yom Echad Lachodesh. What's the date? Chodesh Hashishi, it's Chodesh Elul, right? Yom Echad Lachodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh Elul. Now, if I would ask you today, what is the significance of Rosh Chodesh Elul? Why do you think Haggai delivers a nevuah on Rosh Chodesh Elul? You're all supposed to say, it's Tshuva time. That's right, he wants to tell them the message of Tshuva. However, we only know about the message of Tshuva from later Midrashim, wherein, again, and we know Rashi quotes these Midrashim, that Moshe Rabbeinu went up for the third time, 40 days before Yom Kippur, again, and that was Rosh Chodesh Elul, so Rosh Chodesh Elul is an opportunity for Tshuva. We're going to see that that isn't mentioned in Tanakh. Haggai is not choosing Rosh Chodesh Elul because of its proximity to Yom Kippur. Rather, he's going to be choosing it for a different date. Let's take a look. He chooses this day to come to the people and to address particularly the political leader at the time, whose name is Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, and the religious leader at the time, Yehoshua ben Yehozadak HaKohen HaGadol. Ko amar Hashem tzvot lemor, ha'am hazeh amru, lo itvo et beit Hashem lehibanot. He says, I know what you're all saying. The people are saying, he's voicing their reservations. He's saying, I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking, it's not yet time to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Again, why do they think this? Because we've tried and we're unsuccessful. So obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to go build the Beit HaMikdash. And I can't help it. I can't help it. I'm trying to be apolitical. But that's like saying, because every time we go up to Har HaBayit, the waq bothers us. So it must be, and that, we're not supposed to go up to Har HaBayit. Do you have to say that? No. So if I was with Rabbi Yehuda Glick, who, again, I'm actually very friendly with, and he would say, what do you mean? On the contrary, right, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from you? Hashem wants you to go up to Har HaBayit. Right, don't say, because we're unsuccessful, oh, it must be HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want this. So Haggai comes in and he says, that's what you think? You think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for you not rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash? By Yitzvah Hashem v'yad Haggai HaNavi Lemor. You mean, ha'ed lachem atem lashevet bevatechem svunim, v'abayit hazechari? I mean, it's okay for you to sit on Emet Rafaim, and for you to have beautiful homes in Baca and Gush Etzion, and I can say this, I'm from Gush Etzion, I'm from Dano all over Eretz Yisrael. You mean it's okay for you to sit comfortably and contently in your homes while the home of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is destroyed? In other words, you're successful in reestablishing yourselves in Eretz Yisrael. So you think that with all the terrorist attacks, you think that with all the problems that you're experiencing in Eretz Yisrael, you think that's a sign that Hashem doesn't want you here? On the contrary. Pay attention to what's going on around you. I know that you have planted, and yet you're not reaping, literally, the fruits of your investments. You don't have enough to eat. You're not being satiated. Shatov ve'in l'shachra, you're drinking, but you're never fully intoxicated. Lavosh ve'in l'chomno, you put on various layers of clothes and you're still miserable and cold. Va'mistaker mistaker el tsror nakuv. I love this phrase. It literally means, and you're earning a salary, but it's going down the drain. You know that feeling? But in any case, back to this. Kol mar Hashem tov, simu lebabchem al darchachem. Alu ahar v'vitam eitz. Do you know why you haven't been successful agriculturally? It's not because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because Hashem doesn't want you to be successful, but you haven't built a Beit HaMikdash. The reason why it doesn't seem as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you is because you haven't built a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, what does Chagai recommend for them to do? Go up and build a home. Alu Hahar, go right now to the mountains, Ve'etan Eitz, and just bring down whatever scraps of wood you can find. I always think of the little kids after Pesach, you know, finding whatever scraps they can for their life. Ba'olam Midurot, go! Again, man, go to the Makolet, Uvnu Habayit, and just build the Beit HaMikdash already. Ve'etzebo V'kavdan HaHashem, and you'll see that I want that. And I will show my glory within this Beit HaMikdash, because otherwise you're going to be turning to what should be a lot, but it's going to be nothing. But wait till you see. Build the Beit HaMikdash and everything will be in much greater proportions. Because my Beit HaMikdash is still destroyed and all of you are running to your homes. So now back to Haggai's date. Can anyone tell me, what is he focusing on? He's telling them the reason that you're unsuccessful in the agricultural realm is because you don't have a Beit HaMikdash. That tells us that he chooses Rosh Chodesh Elul for what particular theme? To speak about the agriculture, especially those who live here in Eretz Yisrael. Then what's so significant about Rosh Chodesh Elul? What happens in Rosh Chodesh Elul? This is the beginning of the harvest. The end of the harvest we celebrate on Chag HaSukkot. But the beginning of the harvest is Rosh Chodesh Elul. Come back here. Rosh Chodesh Elul time. And you'll see the grapes. And you're going to see, Gana, the weed is already brought to the Beit HaMikdash. And the ribonim are completely, right, they're on the trees. He turns to them and he says, here you have an opportunity. This is harvest season. Build the Beit HaMikdash. And hopefully this time around, you won't necessarily suffer as you have in the past. That's the reason he says that until now, the rains haven't come. The reason there's a drought, Chagai says, is because you haven't rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yubet. How do the leaders respond to this? And the people are scared. But they're so scared and they're so intimidated that Chagai has to tell them again, Ani etchem num Hashem. Believe me, this is what I want, says Hashem. I really am with you. And they start to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Yom Esrim Bar Ba'al Chodesh. It's exactly a week before Rosh Chodesh. This is a wonderful time, right? And a week before Rosh Hashanah, wonderful time for introspection. They start to collect the various materials, the resources that are going to be necessary. But what does Chagai notice already by the next day? We're now in Perek Bet Pasuk Aleph. Bashvi'i Besrim Ve'achad L'Chodesh. What date is this? It's Chaf Aleph Tishrei, otherwise known as Hoshana Rabbah, right? What we what Chazal call Yom Ha'arabah. So if we already notice that Chagai is choosing his date because of the agricultural significance, can anyone tell me what is the agricultural significance of Hoshana Rabbah? That's the date that we leave the other Avraminim aside, and we take the Arava, and we dance around in this Beach, begging Hashem for rain. Right, this is a very sensitive date agriculturally. He turns to them and he chooses this date very consciously. He says, I'm coming to you on Chaf Aleph Tishrei to say as follows, and Moraz Rubabel ben Shaltiel Pachat Yehuda, Vel Yoshua ben Yotadak Avain Hagadol, Vel Sheirita Amlemor. He's turning again to the leaders and he says, I understand you guys have gotten a little lazy over the past few weeks. You're not necessarily so enthusiastic about rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, and I understand why. Because some of you were actually still alive to see the beautiful Beit HaMikdash of Shlomo that was destroyed. And now, Matzem Ro'im Oto Atar, Halo Kamo Ka'in Be'lihim, compared to the beautiful Mikdash of Shlomo. What is this? This building now of scrap wood. What does it look like? It looks like nothing. But don't worry. V'atah Chazak Zubalonim Hashem, Chazak Yosho Ben Yotadak HaKoyim Gadol, Chazak Kolam Aretz Nu Hashem, V'asu Kani Itchem Nu Hashem Tvot. Just build it. Right? Yes, you should do it because I'm with you, says Hashem. Et HaDavar Shekavati Itchem Yitzchem Nu Mitzrayim. V'ruchi omedet b'tochachem. Just like I promised you when we came out of Mitzrayim. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tochem. Just fill me that mikdash. I'm really with you. There's no reason to fear. Ki ko amar Hashem tzvod od achad ma'ati. V'ani marish et ha-shamayim v'taret et ha-yam v'tacharaba. Because as soon as you build the Beit HaMikdash, then you're going to have an opportunity to do something else. Very soon, I am going to cause, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a major apocalypse. Li hakesed v'li hazav no mashem tzvot. What will I do? Even the pasuk before, v'hirashti et kol ha-goyim. I am going to make a major world war amongst the goyim. They're going to all come, and then they're going to attack you. But don't worry, the spoils are going to go to you. And Hashem says, because I control all of the spoils, all of the gold, all of the silver. Gadol yekvar ha-bayit hazah acharon min harishon amar Hashem tzvot. Uva makom hazeh itin shalom. No Hashem Tzvot. And right now you're suffering with the Shomronim politically, and the Persians are causing you problems. Not to worry. Just go out, wage war, and what will happen? You will win the war, and then you will experience a time of peace. And this Beit HaMikdash, then you're going to see that once you take the initiative in fighting against the other nations, once you muster the courage to go ahead with the Spirit of God and fight against them, then you're going to see this Beit HaMikdash is going to be transformed into a beautiful, beautiful Mikdash. But let's take a look. Haggai comes again. Now, Pasuk Yud. Be'esrim barba'a lachi'i. On what date does Haggai come? Chaf Dalet Kislev. Now you're supposed to be excited. This was all just an introduction for this Pasuk. Gena Chaf Dalet Kislev. So now I ask you, why does Haggai come on Chaf Dalet Kislev? You're not supposed to say because it's Erev Chanukah, because this is 300 years before the story of Chanukah. But what you are supposed to realize is that there must be agricultural significance to this date, because so far Haggai has selected the particular dates of his prophecies because of the agricultural significance. So let's take a look. He comes to them on Chaf Dalet Kislev. B'shnat Shtayim L'Daryavesh Hayad V'Hashem Yer Haggai HaNavi Lemor Ko Amar Hashem Tzvaot Shalna Et HaKohanim Torah Lemor. Already he's going to ask the Kohanim, and this is interesting, the families of Kohanim who are returning now to their worship in the Beit HaMikdash, he asked them very interesting halachic questions. Right? He says, okay, if you have something kadosh, right, that you're carrying, and it touches your garment, does that make your garment kadosh? And they answer, no. Excellent. Right? And then he says, well, what if you're carrying something tameh, and it touches something neutral? Does it make that second item tameh? Mm-hmm. Yes. So Ibn Ezra says, then clearly what message is Haggai trying to tell them? That tuma is much more contagious than kedusha. As a matter of fact, right, he's basically trying to tell them that you have to fight against the tuma, and it's harder. It's harder to start spreading kedusha. But kohanim, that's what you're going to have to do. And then he continues, and he says, pasuk yudalid, vayam chagai vayamar kein ha'amaze, v'chein ha'goy azal lefanayinu Hashem, v'chein kol masi yidehem v'asher yakivu sham tamehu. Right now, the majority of the people are in a tuma state. Not necessarily, literally, and technically defiled and impure, but they're not necessarily mikdash conscious yet. And therefore, what are we going to have to do? On Chaf Dalet Kislev, he says, Simo na levavchem, his mantra, the motif of Haggai, min hayom hazev b'mala, from this day onward, take a look at how he phrases it, mi terem sum even el even behechal Hashem. The day before you start building stone upon stone. In other words, what day does Haggai come? He comes to them the day before the groundbreaking ceremony on Har HaBayit. And he says, I know it's going to happen. Tomorrow we're going to come here for the ribbon cutting ceremony. Tomorrow we're going to start to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So I want to give you another message, he says. And this is his last message, his last nevuah. Not only does he speak to the Kohanim, but he says, Simu na levachem, miyotam ba el arimat esrim vahita asara. I know what's happened. Since I last spoke to you, Yana, it's now clearly post-harvest season. It's post-Sukkot. He says, I know what happened. You went to Yana, your piles of harvest, and instead of a srim, Yana, you only had 50%, only asara. Bal ha-yekev? What's the yekev? You went to your winery, and instead of finding hamishim pura, you only found 20. Yana, it was a very unsuccessful harvest. Right, and I know that you're very disillusioned and you're disappointed. So let me explain to you, says Chagai. He keeps his chamishi defom b'yirakom b'barad et kol masi yidachem ve'inat chamay la'inom Hashem. Yana, the reason I did that, I sent you droughts, was because then you weren't with me. You weren't building the Beit HaMikdash. But it's not too late. Why? Simon ala b'chem menayim azav emala miyom esrim v'arba alachi. Wait till you see what's going to happen. If you go ahead, starting tomorrow, and you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, Ha'od Hazera Gamagura, Vat HaGefen, Vat Ema, Vat HaRimon, Ve'etz HaZayit, Lo Nasa, Men Hayom Hazeh Avarech. What will happen? Whatever is still left over in the fields, Hannah, what can happen? Hashem can still bless it. We know this. It's Chaf Dalet Kislev. This is the time, again, the rainy seasons. Hashem says, there still is hope for this year. And if the rains come, and the rains will come on the condition that you do what? That you actually go ahead starting tomorrow, and you rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. And what else does Chagai focus on, particularly? Min ha'etz ha'zayit, min ha'yom hazeh avarech. That the zayit hasn't yet been affected. Because even though Chag HaSukkot is the end of the harvesting for most of the Sheva Minim, we know agriculturally in Eretz Yisrael, what is the time for the harvesting of the Zeitim? Now, right? It's at the end of Cheshvan through Kislev. It's Chav Dalet Kislev. And therefore, Chagai comes to them particularly on the day before the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, and he tells them, you still have a chance with the Eight Zayit. You still have a chance with the rest of the agriculture as well. Simu levavchem. And his one farewell nebuah, particularly to the leaders, and particularly to the political leader, he turns to Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, the descendant of Yehoyachin, the up-and-coming king, who right now is the appointee of Judea by Darius, by Dayabesh, and he says, Ani marish et ha-shamayim v'ta'aretz. Zerubbabel, do you remember what Hashem said? Hashem is about to, now with the rebuilding of the Beit HaMikdash, Hashem is with you, and Hashem is about to begin an apocalyptical event. But what do you have to do? V'afachti kisei mamlechot. Hashem is going to cause a world war. V'shmatiti chosek mamlechot goyim. V'afachti merkava v'roch v'ha. And you're going to see that huge armies, their chariots are going to overturn. Their tanks are going to be destroyed. Okay, that was a little anachronistic. V'yardu susim v'roch v'hem ish b'cherev achiv. And you're going to see that these huge armies will be destroyed by the Mahun Hashem Tzvot. Ekachach Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel adinu Hashem. V'samticha kachotam. Zerubbabel, you have to be the one to start the war. You have to be the one courageous enough to begin this process. Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowing Am Yisrael to rise to the forefront of military victory. And then, when you win, v'samticha kachotam. You will be my seal. That will be proof that I have chosen you to be king. Let's find out what happened. Then to Zerubbabel. Anyone know, did Zerubbabel go ahead and initiate a major war? Did Zerubbabel cause a major apocalypse, again, amongst all the different nations? Is this Beit HaMikdash that was built during the time of Haggai and Zechariah and the one that Ezra and Nehemiah tried to bring more people to? Is it really a successful, beautiful Beit HaMikdash? No. As a matter of fact, do you hear about any kings? Do you hear about a strong government? Do you hear about a wealthy dynasty that ensues after the time of Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel? No. Basically, for the next 300 years, you don't hear of a single strong personality in Yehuda. In other words, what happened to Haggai's very optimistic nevuah? It wasn't fulfilled. Why wasn't it fulfilled? Because the leaders, the kings, didn't fulfill them. Because the people apparently were not sufficiently enthused. They didn't answer the call of Haggai. Yes, technically they built the Beit HaMikdash. And we can assume then that agriculturally things got better for Am Yisrael. But did all of these positive nevuah come true? No, so imagine. Imagine the Hashmonaim living with this very poor looking type of Beit HaMikdash, right? A very shabby temple that they go to and that they service Kohanim in. And our sense is then that when the Seleucid Greeks take over and they transform even the shabby Mikdash into a pagan temple, the Hashmonaim themselves are wondering, what happened to this Nivuah of Haggai? And now we understand a little more. The Hashmonaim grew up with this Nivuah still reverberating in their ears. And therefore, what did they tell themselves? Every positive Nivuah in Tanakh, what's supposed to happen to a positive prophecy? It's supposed to be fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled in one generation, then you have an opportunity in another generation. So the Hashmonaim find themselves in a very similar state as their ancestors 300 years before them. And they basically realize, wait a second, not only are we suffering agriculturally, but we don't really have a temple anymore. The Seleucids took over our temple. They have transformed it into a place of pagan worship. And what do? They say, you know what? We're going to take this Nivuah of Haggai, and we're going to be the ones to fulfill it. And lo and behold, Rabbimi Biat Ma'atim, what do? They're the ones who in the end are successful in winning this world war. They're the ones who are successful in turning over the Merkavot. And therefore, what do? And what we're going to see now is recorded in Sefer Maccabim, not only Maccabim Aleph, but particularly Maccabim Bet. Sefer Maccabim Bet is written about 100 years after the story of Hanukkah takes place. It's actually written in Greek by a Frum Jew living in Alexandria, who recounts the stories of the Hashmonaim. And take a look at what he says. He says, what happened? Just as I mentioned, there were really five different wars that led until the Hashmonaim regained control of the Beit HaMikdash, regained control of Har HaBayit. We know that there were another three wars afterwards, one of which they actually lost control of Har HaBayit. But what we celebrate is when they regained control, which was really Elul time. But what happens? Hannah, we're now in page 4. Vayizaber Yehuda ve'achav el ha'am le'mor. Hem ha'oyev nigaf lefanenu, v'ata alon ale v'tiharnu et mikdash Hashem. Now that we won the war, based on Nebuat Haggai, what should we do? It's time to literally and figuratively rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. We have to repurify the temple. Ve'ikalu kol anshei ha'tzava, v'yalu lechtav el har Tzion. V'hibro tam et ha'mikdash kishamem. They saw that the Mikdash was there desolate. And the entire Har HaBayit is ridden with weeds. And they mourned. And they were demonstrating, and like we know on a fast day, they blew the horns, and they were screaming to the heavens. We're going to start to purify the Mikdash. He says, we're going to get rid of all the defiled parts of the Mikdash. And they saw the Mizbeach, and they didn't know, what do we do with our Mizbeach? And they decided it's defiled. But technically, the stones themselves are tahor. So they take apart the Mizbeach. And they keep the stones there on the side. And now they took new stones and they started to rebuild the Mizbeach. But now what happened? Chanukat HaMizbeach, this is supposed to say, Chafei Kislev. They started to rebuild the Mikdash. They disinfected the courtyard. And they So you tell me, when did they start activating the Mishkan? They start rebuilding the Mishkan. And then they wait, even though they were working on the Mikdash in Tishrei. And Cheshvan, our sense is that it was ready to be reinaugurated probably at the beginning of Kislev, but they waited. They waited to light the menorah, and they waited to set the Mizbeach HaKtoret up. The Al HaMenorah Ha'elu Et Norotah La'ir BaMikdash, ויצניעו את לחם הפנים על השולחן, ותפרוך את המסך על הארון, ותאכל כל עבודה שלך כאשר בתחילה, והיא ביום החמישי, ועשרים לחודש התשיעי. ענחף הקיסלי בשנת 844, וישכימו בבוקר ויעלו עולות על המזבח החדש כמשפט, ויחנכו את המזבח בעצם היום אשר צינו אותו הגויים. What did they do? They rebuilt the Mizbeach, particularly on what date? On what date then did they decide to reestablish, to basically rebuild and reactivate the Mikdash as a holy Beit HaMikdash to Hashem? They chose Chaf Hei Kislev. Why Chaf Hei Kislev? So based on Sefer HaMakabim, because that was the day that the Yevanim defiled the Mizbeach. But then the question is obviously, why was that the day that the Yevanim defiled the Mizbeach? Just like today, if one goes up to Har HaBayit, where is the big kuba? Where is the black box, so to speak, of the Muslims on Har HaBayit? It's in the exact place where our Mizbeach was. They came on Chaf Hei Kislev, which is the anniversary date of Chagai's Yol Yusav Heichal Hashem. Do you remember that? Chagai said on Chaf Dalet, tomorrow you're going to be inaugurating, you're going to be building the foundations of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Yevanim came and said, oh, on Chaf Hei Kislev, you thought that you were rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, we're defiling the Mikdash. And that's why Yehuda HaMakabi, together with the Hashmonaim, they come up, and even though the Mikdash technically is ready, they wait for Chaf Hei Kislev in order to show we are re-fulfilling whose Nebuah? Chagai's Nebuah. We are the ones who are coming and rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash properly. And not just in any context. We have been the ones to fight the world war. Now, by the way, we understand what else they feel that they had the right to do. Chagai said, once you win the world war, he turns to Zerubbabel, he says, then you know it's proof that God chose you as king. What do the Hashmonaim tell themselves? I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be the kings, to be the political leaders. Take a look at what happened. Sure enough, there's tremendous simcha. Ki galal Hashem charpat avoyim aleihem pasuk nun zayin. ויצבב יהודה ואחר לכל קהל ישראל לכל יום חנוכת המזבח ביום החמישה ועשרים לחודש כסלו שמונת ימים מדי שנה בשנה בהלל ובתודה להשם. Now we understand not only why we perpetuate this miracle by lighting the menorah, particularly to show that Yehuda HaMakabi wanted to show, you know what? Yeah, no, we are doing this because it's a fulfillment of Ratzon Hashem. And that's why they chose Chaf Hei, to show we are fulfilling the Nebuah that you thought expired hundreds of years ago but was never properly fulfilled, the Nebuah of Chagai. What question still remains? Why 8 days? They should have just celebrated for how long? Only for 7 days, right? For Chanukah. So we still have our 8-day question. And now we're going to go back and see other possibilities. Not only did they start rebuilding Yerushalayim at that time, but the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us as well that once upon a time, right during the time actually of Adam HaRishon, they say that Chalanda, this is a Masechet Avodah Zarah, talking about the different Avodah Zarah holidays of the Goyim. And they say that Chalanda is an 8-day holiday after the winter solstice, and Saturna's 8 days beforehand. The rabbis taught, just like Adam HaRishon was created in Tishrei, noticed that for the first 3 months of his life, the days slowly became shorter and shorter, and he said, oh no, right, this is because Hashem is punishing me. He's taking away light, again, because of my sin in Gan Eden. That's why the world is getting darker. And soon, there won't be any light, and we're going to go back to Tohu Vavohu. This is my death sentence. And sure enough, Adam went into a state of depression and took upon himself to fast and to pray and repent. But after 8 days, which basically is the end of the solstice, the end of the harvesting season, Adam noticed that the days indeed had begun to lengthen. Realizing that this is Mehago Shel Olam, he realized, oh, this is just part of the seasons. So he made a celebration for 8 days. The next year, he made these very special days. Adam had good intentions, but ultimately, over time, these changed into what we know till today as Avodah Zarah holidays. What do we see from here? That it could very well be that Chagai even came, Dafka An Chaf Dalet, that Chagai also specifically chose the date of the inauguration of the Beit HaMikdash to be Chaf Hei Kislev, which is when? These are basically the last 8 days of the solstice, the darkest days of the year, the days where you think everything is over. And what does he say? It's not over yet. Again, the zeitim are still out in the fields. We're still in the midst of harvesting season. Don't give up. This is the time. He took the 8 days of the seasons and basically showed that these can be days of continuation of harvest as long as you rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash. And that's why the Hashmonaim then came back and celebrated not just Shiv'at Yimei HaMilulim, but that's why they celebrated perhaps these 8 days of harvest, the 8 days at the end of the year. Sure enough, where the Or Zavuah explains in the name of Rabbi Yehuda ben Yitzchak that the miracle of oil, right, was for 8 days because they were occupied all 7 days, first, he says, with building the Mizbeach and with dealing with the clay charetz. And then, again, and that's why they couldn't necessarily prepare new oil and they couldn't buy oil. And that's basically the miracle that first they built the Mizbeach and then they celebrated the building of the Mizbeach for the 7 days thereafter. So here we have a few different explanations for why 8 days. It was a retransformation of the 8 days of the Esach Chalanka holiday, in addition to 1 day to build the Mizbeach, 7 days of celebration. But now we're going to take it two steps further. And that is, wait a second, if it's really all about fulfilling the Nebuah of Haggai and showing that we came back to the Beit HaMikdash and we're fulfilling this Nebuah, rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash and winning against our enemies and reestablishing Malchut, then based on Haggai, it doesn't explain why we light specifically the menorah. And this is why we also need the Nebuah of Zechariah. Zechariah delivers the Nebuah at the same time as Haggai, and to the same subjects. He turns to the political leaders, and Zechariah says, the Malach in my Nebuah came to me, and he turned to me and he woke me up, but I was still very groggy. Vayomer Eli, ma ataraweh? And my Malach said, Zechariah, what do you see? Vayomer ra'iti v'nei menorat zahav kula. This, by the way, is the Haftorah that we're going to read Shabbos Chanukah. It says, I saw an entire oil, right, a bowl of oil, the gula arosha, some type of a circular marble on top of this bowl of oil, the shiv'an neroteha aleha, and there were 7 wicks on top of this oil, the shiv'an mutzakot l'neirot asha arosha, and each one of the wicks, though, had like a pipe that was attached to it, and on top of the pipes, ushnayim zeitim aleha, achad mimin hagola v'achad mismola. That then there were 2 olive trees on either side of this big marble. So I turned to my malach and I said, I don't understand this. I don't understand the bowl of oil, and I don't understand the 7 wicks, and I don't understand the 7 pipes, and I definitely don't understand the 2 olive trees on either side. And the malach turns to him and he says, oh, come on. You know what they are, Zechariah. This is the message that you have to give the political leader, that he has to go ahead and he has to fight the war. But believe it or not, the sign of military victory, the sign of the establishment of autonomy, is not going to be an M16. And it's not going to be a sword. What's going to be the sign of the victory? Lo b'chayel, v'lo b'koach, ki im b'ruchi. You will know that I am behind this miraculous military victory. How? Through the sign of the menorah. The menorah, just like we saw in the Gemara, the menorah is a sign that Hashem is with us, that the fire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. And that's why, go ahead, Zerubbabel, go out to war and know that you don't need tanks and you don't need major artillery, because all of the obstacles in front of you are going to be straightened. Hashem says, tell Zerubbabel, tell Zerubbabel to go and fight his wars and build the Beit HaMikdash. Ki Hashem tzvot shlachani alechem. Ki mi baz yom tanot v'samchu v'ru et ha'eben ha'bdil v'yad Zerubbabel sheva ele enei Hashem heim ha'meshotetim b'chol ha'aretz. All the 7s here, the 7 pipes and the 7 wicks, this is hashkachat Hashem throughout the world. So what are the 2 olive trees on either side of this oil lamp? And the Malach says, come on, Zechariah, you know what this is. And he says, no, really, I don't. And the Malach answers, These are the two people who are anointed with oil. Who are those two people? The Kohen on one side and the king on the other side. You need both of the political strength, and you also need the religious leadership. But ultimately, who's behind both of them? This, Noga Ruvini explains, is the reason why this became, Zechariah's Nevuah became the symbol of our Medina. What is really the basis for Hakamat Medinat Israel? Who was behind the miraculous victory of 1948, certainly 1967? The Menorah, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what is the Malchut, what is the strength behind the government? You have both the political leadership, that's one Eitzayit, that's the Malchut, but you also need the Kohuna, you need the religious leadership. And this is why the Hashmonaim come back and they said, not only have we fulfilled the Nevuah of Haggai, and that's why we're going to come back on Chafei Kislev. And that's why we're going to be the ones to reestablish the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And that's why we're going to be the ones to take over the Malchut. But that's why they also light the menorah, to show we understand, how did we win this war? How were we able to be victorious? Why is it that restoration of autonomy has taken place? Because of the menorah, because of Shechinat Hashem. And lastly then, one other idea then, for why they celebrate not a 7-day re-inauguration, but an 8-day re-inauguration. Not only do they recognize that they've come back during the harvesting season, not only do they appreciate that they fulfilled the Nevuot of Haggai, but take a look at what we hear in the 10th parak of Sefer Makkabim Bet. Ruach Hashem tachal yigar makkabi be'al ha'nashem, ve'yelaktu et ha'ir ve'et ha'mikdash, ויירסו את המשפחות ואת בתי הגלולים אשר הכינו הגויים בחוצות העיר. ויהי אחרי תיארם את הבית, ויעש מזבח חדש, ויציעו איש מן הבנים אשר בקיצו ויקריבו את כוונה מהשם מקיץ שנתיים ימים. They finally, after 2 years of the Greeks taking over the temple, they reinaugurate the Mizbeach, and they light the candles, they set up the lechem hapanim, and then they do as follows. Then, ומאית השם, the last page, מאית השם, they recognize that all this came from Hashem, לחטא את הבית בעצם הימו אשר תמות הגויים. והוא יום 25 בירח כסלי, ויחוגו חג להשם, שמונת ימים כימי חג הסוכות. According to Sefer HaMakkabim, why did they celebrate not a 7-day Nevuah ceremony, but 8 days? Because when they first came back to the Mikdash in Tishrei, and they saw that the Mikdash was in shambles, what holiday could they not celebrate? They couldn't celebrate Sukkot. So instead, they waited till Chafei. They waited till the next harvesting season. According to Haggai, what's the next harvesting season? After Chaf Aleph Tishrei is Chafei Tishrei. They remember how, for the past 2 years, they had to celebrate Sukkot in caves, in hiding. So they couldn't necessarily take an etrog, it's out of season. But what could they take? They took arvei nachal, kapot marim, probably atzei zeitim. Vayashiru at shir shevach hozaya l'Hashem, asher natan lahem oz tshuva l'tahir bit mikdasho. Vayaviru kol b'chol arei Yehuda l'chog et hachag hazeh. What were they trying to say? That this really is a continuation of the harvesting season, just like Haggai said. We're going to celebrate Hanukkah as if it's Sukkot. We're going to celebrate Hanukkah, and just like Shlomo, and ultimately took the harvesting season and merged it with Sukkot. So we're taking the harvesting season of the olives and we're merging it with pseudo-Sukkot, and with an 8-day holiday. And just to prove this, the Rambam says, even though we know, that you can start bringing Bikurim on Shavuot, when technically is the last time that you can bring Bikurim. Based on the Torah, the end of the harvesting season is HaKasukot, he says, but everyone knows that the olives you can't bring until Hanukkah. So really, you can bring Bikurim until Hanukkah. The Hanukkah is an extension of Sukkot. Hasidim love this, right? You think that the last time to ask for mechila for your friends is Hoshana Rabbah? Hasidim say no. I'm serious. You have until Hanukkah. And this is wonderful for procrastinators. Here we go. The Tosefta tells us as well that there are various parallels between Hanukkah and Sukkot. Not only do we know that the two paradigms for times that we say Hallel Shalem are Hanukkah and Sukkot, but only on Hanukkah and Sukkot do we find that people would celebrate with fire, whether it was the Simchat Beit HaShoeva and the Beit HaMikdash, which was all about the fire and the oils that were lit in the Chatzar of the Beit HaMikdash, and so too Hanukkah, both of them being very eschatological days, days that refer to the Nitzachon, the victory against our nations. But we also find, halachically, that the only holidays where Mi'ikar Hadin, the halacha has actually become that even though it's nice by all mitzvot, that we do all the mitzvot, Mahadrin, we have Hidur mitzvah, Baya Sukkot, as you know, Hidur is part of the actual halacha. The Arba Minim have to all be Muhudarim, they have to be beautiful. So too by Hanukkah, even though the basic mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beito, how do we all ideally perform the mitzvah? Mahadrin, Min Mahamahadrin, that every member of the family lights a candle. Actually, every member of the family lights a candle connected that day. So much so that Beit Shammai says you should start off with eight pochet v'holech keneged pare hachag. Right? He has sukkahs in mind. Hanukkah basically is celebrated like sukkot. And this is exactly what the Sfatemet says. The Hanukkah upurim heim ha'orota miregalim, just like the three regalim of Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot are mentioned in the Torah. He says so too. Chazal understood, and that from the strength of the Torah, there are going to be parallel rabbinic holidays. Chanukah is really just a rabbinic extension of Chag HaSukkot. Opur Michag HaShavuot. And this is beautiful because the Sfat Emet says, Chag HaPesach, we're still waiting to see a new type of Yom HaTzma'ut, basically. Again, that can stem from Chag HaPesach. But what does he want to say? A beautiful, very, very deep idea. He says, don't you understand that holidays that we have today are ultimately inspired by the Torah? And I'd like to take it one step further. The Chashmonaim recognized, when they were living through history, they realized this isn't just another victory in history. This isn't just another turn for the good. How did they see themselves? They saw themselves as fulfilling the Nevuot of Haggai from 300 years earlier. They still had these prophecies reverberating in their minds and their hearts. And they recognize that when they have an opportunity to fulfill them, that's exactly what they're going to do. And that's why they wait until the day of Haggai's Nevuah on Chaf Dalet Chaf Hei Kislev. And they light the menorah to show that they're fulfilling the Nevuah of Zechariah. And ultimately then, the reason why Hanukkah was established then as a holiday is for us to remember that in every generation, when we talk about not only Al HaNisim, but we light the Chanukiah, and we say, yeah, that this is just like Bayamim Mahim Vazman Hazir. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in every generation, you allow for us the opportunity to take the Nevuot that have not yet been fulfilled, and you allow for us to fulfill them. Halavai, that we, like the Chashmonaim, should recognize that we have it within our power to fulfill them. And when they are fulfilled, that we recognize that this is part of the destiny that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for us. If only we could live our lives like the Chashmonaim, and having the messages of the Nevi'im reverberate on a constant, on a daily basis, and especially this Hanukkah, then Be'ezrat Hashem, we can re-celebrate not only a Chag HaSukkot, but a Yom Yusar Yechav Hashem, the refounding of the Beit HaMikdash, as expressed through Haggai and expressed through Zechariah, through the lighting of the menorah. When we light our menorah, may our tefillot not only be recalled by us, but the Ezrat Hashem re-inspire us to go ahead and fulfill them as well.
Thank you, Shani. We're going to take a